I'm on mute. There we go. How's that? You know, sometimes when I see the word mute, I just take it as unmute. That's weird, isn't it? Anyway, we're continuing our series, Building Up One Another. It's focused on all the one another's in the New Testament. It's we've boiled it down to 12 significant steps that we can embrace, that we can build into the church life, and just watch what God will do as we obey Him in this area. Just to recap, we've looked at the first week was we belong to one another. We're members of one body, the body of Christ. So then we go from the body image to the family picture, and we're to be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Then we go to honouring others above ourselves, all about not putting ourselves first, but celebrating when others have victories, not being bitter, not being resentful about it. And last week, Pastor Jay talked about being of the one mind, of the same mind with one another. And that's about unity. And today we're looking at this verse, Romans 15, verse 7. Gee, we're having some struggles today, aren't we? There we go. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. It's one of those verses that just flow off the tongue, isn't it? It just seems so easy. Accept one another. And you're probably sitting there going, yeah, I do that. That's easy. But when I read the commentary that Carson has put out on Romans, he talks about the fact that this language is wholehearted acceptance of one another. Did you hear that? Wholehearted acceptance of one another. So I remember a few years ago we were on holidays, and we were just enjoying a holiday, and we received this brochure of an advertisement to come to church. And it was a glossy brochure. It had beautiful pictures on it, had lovely captions, and right in the middle of the brochure it said, "No nerds here." They actually said, "No nerds here." So the message was, if you're a cool surfy dude, you're allowed here. But if you're not, maybe there's somewhere else you need to go. Hand up all the nerds. You're welcome here. You're allowed here and you're allowed to be a nerd. If you want to wear Ugg boots in the middle of summer, do it. It's great.
That's not
nerds. Oh, it just depends who you are. But to me, as I read this verse, that's not in line with the teachings of Scripture, is it? Wholeheartedly accept one another despite. I'm reminded of a passage of Scripture where Jesus was at Simon the Pharisee's house. They've invited him there. He's a visiting rabbi, and the whole minister's fraternals there around the table, reclining, eating the meal. They were there as a kind of looking for a way to trap Jesus in his words. They weren't really welcoming him. In the middle of the meal, this woman comes in with her hair all a mess, she's unhinged. She's crying, she's weeping. And she goes straight to Jesus. She doesn't greet anybody. The Pharisees and all the people around the table, their jaws are hitting the ground. And she does this unspeakable, incredible thing. She cries, and her tears wet Jesus' feet, and she's drying them with her hair. All the while she's kissing Jesus' feet and anointing him with perfume. She may have heard Jesus preach earlier. She may have realised her need of God. She might have recognised him as the Saviour, but somehow meeting him, her life had changed. She'd met this guy. She knew what it was to be forgiven. She knew what repentance looked like, and her life was changed. And she just needed to be near Jesus. She needed to worship him. She needed to just weep those tears before him. What was the reaction of the Pharisees? What's she doing here? She doesn't belong. And if this guy Jesus, if he thinks he's a prophet, well, he should know what kind of woman this is. She's a woman of the town. She's a hooker. Rejection, rejection, rejection. And these are the people who are supposed to be pointing others to God, showing the way to God. And they're putting up these barriers and saying, she does not belong here. That is the opposite to wholehearted acceptance. What was Jesus' response? He said to Simon the Pharisee, I need to say something to you. When I came into this room, you didn't welcome me. You didn't give me a kiss of greeting. That's what we do when we come to another person's house. It's custom. It's polite. It's a welcome. You didn't wash my feet, which is what we do in the Middle East. Dusty roads, donkey poo, washing it out. Perfume on the feet to revive and to create a lovely smell. You didn't do any of that. You didn't welcome me. And by your actions, you have rejected me. And by rejecting me, you've rejected her. And she's come to me and she loves much because she's been forgiven much. Sadly, I think we can portray those attitudes of the Pharisees. Sometimes we can do it with a sledgehammer, or sometimes it can be so, so subtle. We find ways of barring people to get to God. We find ways of stopping people meeting Jesus through our attitudes, through our actions, through our legalisms, through what these Pharisees did on that day. And all in the name of God, all in the name of our religion. Remember when I was working for Queensland Baptist, I did a consultancy with a church that was really stuck. I remember doing the interviews on the Saturday, then turning up at church on the Sunday, just sitting in just to observe what was going on and seeing what was happening. And the preacher got up and he had his King James Bible and he's waving it in the air. He said, I only preach this. Then he put it on his pulpit, hardly opening it. And he proceeded to tell us how we should behave. He started to give a whole lot of rules and regulations about what people should wear, what music they should listen to, what length of hair it is, and all of those things. It was rules, it was regulations. It took every effort that I had to stay in my seat and not stand up and say, this is not in line with the gospel. This was legalism. And I could see people, some people were going, amen, amen, brother, preach on. And others had their heads down and knew that they didn't belong. Knew that they were never going to be a part of this body of believers. We can do it like that, or we can be so subtle in the way we do these things. We should never be a hindrance. If you are my brother and sister in the Lord, and we may disagree on some points, I wholeheartedly accept you. Doesn't matter if you're male or female, doesn't matter if you speak a different language, doesn't matter what colour skin that you have. Doesn't make any difference to me whether you're a nerd or a surfer dude, or whether you're a bogan like me, or a well-heeled person from Kenmore. Doesn't matter to me whether you're really struggling in your faith and you feel like you've really failed God, and you're sitting here today, whether it's at home or whether it's here today, and you're feeling like such a failure that you're feeling like you don't belong. You are wholeheartedly accepted here. You may be struggling with sin. You may be struggling in your relationship with God. You may have done some great damage. And we may even speak to you, counsel you. We may even have to admonish you, but it's done in a situation where you are wholeheartedly accepted. We want to see you heal. We want to see you in a vibrant, loving relationship with God, in a vibrant, healthy church. If you're feeling estranged, if you're feeling alienated from your brothers and sisters in the Lord, I want to stand up here today and say, you belong. We accept you wholeheartedly in the Lord Jesus Christ. What are some of the barriers to accepting one another? We talked about them. Already, we've talked about the fact that we can be legalists, but we can also judge others. And you know, the early church had this problem, and the center of this problem was around food. Some people came to faith in Jesus Christ out of idolatry. And there was a lot of food and meals you could get at the temple that they worshipped at. Some of those foods were offered to the gods. Then you had some people who came to Christ out of Judaism. And they had all their food laws and all their rituals and their feasts. And so we had people going, well, you know, and judging one another about how they viewed what food you should eat and what food you shouldn't eat. The Apostle Paul is saying, accept one another despite these differences. He says in Romans 14, 2 and 3, he says, one man's faith allows him to eat everything. But another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. Stop judging. Why? For God has accepted him. He goes on to say in Romans 14, 20, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. How about we just scrub out food and put another issue there? Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of being a Calvinist or an Arminian. For the sake of whatever you believe about the end times. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. In other words, give consideration to your brother and sister. Don't hold your position such that it's destroying that relationship, that it's destroying the work of God, this unity that we have. Be the mature one. Love your brother. Don't judge. Accept these differences with grace. So there's judging others, but there's also showing favoritism. Romans 12:16 says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. The church is full of people from so many different demographics. Rich and poor, slave and free, Jew and Gentile was the big thing in the early church. They all had to come together. They all had to sort their differences to be one. James 2:1-9 says, don't show favoritism. 2:1-9. It's talking about favoritism. It says, if you... someone comes into your meeting with a gold ring on his finger and clothed in fine clothes, and you seat him in a position of honour, and someone else comes in who's poor and you just sort of shuffle him off to another seat that's insignificant, you're showing favouritism, and favouritism is sin. And we all do this in the church, and it's quite natural. We have people we are closer to than others. We strike up genuine friendships, and that's good, and that's to be encouraged. But it's never at the expense of other people. It's never at the expense of being united together, one another. We don't discriminate. We don't show prejudice. We don't show favourites. There's a few problems in the early church. It wasn't just food, but when we talk about prejudices and favoritism, we see in Acts chapter 6, you know, when the church chose the 7 deacons, there was a problem. The Grecian Jews, the widows were being overlooked in the distribution of food. Now, the Grecian Jews were people who were born outside Israel, but they were Jews. But they were more Greek in culture. They spoke Greek more fluently than they did Hebrew. And they were different to the Hebraic Jews who spoke Hebrew as a first language, who were probably born in Israel itself. And so there was favoritism, there was prejudices, and the widows, the Grecian widows, were being overlooked in the food distribution. And the apostle said, this is not right. Let's select 7 servants to oversee the distribution of the food. Problem solved. Then there's another example in the Galatians where Peter is in Antioch and he's mixing freely with the Gentile Christians until some Jews come up from Jerusalem from the circumcision group, and he excuses himself from the Gentile believers and exclusively hangs with the Jews. And Paul called him out. He said, you're not acting in line with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're showing favourites. We're together. We're one church. We're not Jew anymore. We're not Gentile anymore. We're church together. It goes on to say, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. Think about this for a minute. Just as Christ accepted you. I know for myself, there's nothing in me that could ever earn God's favour in my own strength. I know for all of us, the situation is before we met Jesus, we were drinking from this stagnant well of sin, and it was killing us. Condemned, imprisoned, waiting for judgment, spiritually dead, separated from life in Christ. That was our position. There was no way we could save ourselves. There was no way by our good works, our religion, to build that ladder to make us right with God. But God, in his great love for us, who is rich in mercy, who has waterfalls of grace, sent his only son to planet Earth. Just think of the millions of galaxies that are in this universe. Just think of all the planets, all the stars. And God sent his son Jesus to this speck of dust in our solar system called planet Earth. And this same Jesus became a speck of dust on this planet Earth. Out of his great love and mercy. And although we don't deserve it, I know I don't deserve it, Jesus died for me. He died in my place. He took my punishment so that I might be forgiven, so that I might be brought into a relationship with God where I can call him Father, where I belong to a family. It's grace, it's mercy, it's love. And my role is just to receive it in Jesus Christ, that wonderful salvation. We're told to accept one another just as Christ accepted you, warts and all. Despite the differences, Christ accepted us. He went to the cross while we're still enemies, while still so far away from him. Accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you. It means love in action, doesn't it? It means self-sacrificial love, doesn't it? It goes on. In order to bring praise to God, here's an incredible truth. When God accepts sinners like you and me, some of us have been to the gutter, and God was there and he brought us out. When people see changed lives, glory goes to God. But then it goes on, when we, as saved sinners by God's grace, receive others and accept others in Christ, God's glory, God's praise is further advanced. When we're in unity, when we accept one another, and we even despite our differences, we live this way. We're advancing God's glory. We're shining all the brighter for Jesus Christ. We become this light on the hill. People want to belong to a community like that. So just a few questions to ask yourselves as we think about this area of accepting one another. Are there any barriers to my wholeheartedly accepting my brothers and sisters? Think deeply. Think carefully. Is there a time when you've been talking with one person and another third person comes along and you've just sort of ignored them and pushed them out of the circle? Are there ways in which you've ignored people? Are there ways in which you've deliberately found a way to just avoid them? I want you to think of a time, a specific time, a specific example. If there is, you need to repent. You need to come to a place of recognizing what you're doing and change it. For the glory of God, And in the light of this teaching, how ought I now live? What changes do I need to make today? As soon as I stand up, sing the last song, pray the last words, what do I do to bring wholehearted acceptance to my brothers and sisters today? What's one action I can take? A long, long, long time ago, before the invention of the wheel, Sue and I got married. A long, long time ago. I remember the day really clearly. It was an Anglican church on the north side of Sydney. And I remember Sue was, I think she was 2 hours late. Oh, she's going, what was it, about an hour, hour and a half? Yeah. It's like catching a fish, isn't it? She was about an hour late. No mobile phones to let her know where she, let us know where she was. Some were saying, is she a runaway bride? Have you been left at the altar? I remember that day clearly, and I remember our vows. For richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. Love, honour, cherish. In other words, wholeheartedly accept Susan as your wife. Come what may. No matter the problems that may arise, no matter the really desperate situations we end up in, wholeheartedly accept this person, Susan, as your wife. And to me, that's a great picture of how we're to wholeheartedly accept one another in the church. Despite our differences, despite the problems that come our way, it happens in every church and in every group, wherever people meet, there are always issues because we're so different, we hold so many different views. We still say, I wholeheartedly embrace you, I wholeheartedly accept you. You're my brother and sister in the Lord, and I'm going to be that come what may. In sickness and in health, in richer for poorer, till death do us part, until the Lord Jesus comes again. Can we do that without being enmeshed, without doing weird things? Be that to one another. Seems to me it's a healthy church, eh? How would God truly use us if we really lived this? How would the world view us? Let us pray. Lord, I love this church. I love what it's becoming. I love the people that are here. I love the new people coming. And I know we're on that path. I know we're moving that way. But I pray, Lord, that you would take us deeper. Each one of us. May we not just read these words, accept one another without saying, how do I take this deeper? How do I move this further? Without it being legalistic, but just another way to love my brother and sister. I pray, Lord, that out of that people might come to know you as Lord and Saviour. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.